Sometimes getting ready for something momentous in your life means preparation. Preparation before something big. And the interesting thing is that sometimes you can prepare and prepare and prepare, and the reality of what you step into does not quite match the preparation you may have gone through. Lisa and I have been through 3 births of children. I found it pretty easy. We did a lot of prep, we read a lot of books, we talked to a lot of people the first time. The second two were we knew what was going to happen, but that first child, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what it's going to look like. Lisa didn't know what it was going to feel like, really. It was a surprise. And when you're a parent, when you weren't a parent, now you are a parent, even though for the last 10 years you've been saying to yourself, well, I will never parent like that. My child will never sit in front of a TV. Man, we broke out those Barney videos so fast. I can't believe that child behaves like that. They might not have raised him right. I said that before you have a child. Then you realize they have the mind of their own. But the thing is that you can prepare, and you can get a degree in it, and you can have lots of experience, but then the reality hits really, sometimes you have to adjust to the reality, because the reality that you receive is not the one you've been expecting. Like driving a car, any of you that are just now getting your licenses, right now the people are very serious. You have to take lots of tests. You have to do all kinds of training. We had to go through, I want to call them synthesizers. What do you call those? Thank you, simulators. It's a big word, lots of syllables. And we had this one simulator video where we were going along and the hood in the movie flips back. And then we ran over a dachshund. I remember it very clearly. And I was like, that'll never happen to me. Twice. You know, you don't realize that when you finally get your license and you're driving along the road, that you have to regularly make life and death decisions that you weren't expecting. And it's very serious. And here we have Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, who had known Jesus as a close friend. Jesus was the only man who had not treated her as an object in her life. And she had decided to dedicate herself as a disciple. She went wherever he was. She took care of him. We have the account of her pouring perfume on his feet and wiping it away with her hair. She loved Jesus. And now the reality of her life was that her teacher, her mentor, her beloved friend had died, and she understood death. She had seen people die. She had seen people crucified before. It was a regular occurrence in the Roman world. She knew that after they come down from the cross, they don't get back up again. People of Israel were not primitive people. They knew what dead was. And so when she went that day and ceremonially to go and care for the body of Jesus, possibly to ask the Romans to pull the stone away so she could continue the anointing and sitting Shiva and praying and doing all the good things that a good Jewish person would do at the death of a close friend, she was expecting reality. She was expecting exactly what she knew that was going to happen. But what happened was the opposite of that. It was unreality. It was something that could not have happened. And the reason why I believe that it happened is because they sent Mary Magdalene. Let me just tell you that in this world that she lived in, her testimony was not valid in court. No one would have believed her. So why include her as the first witness to the resurrection? Doesn't make sense when if you want to build a religion, you want to do it in a way that can't be refuted. Well, in my mind, in the minds of thousands and millions of other people, because Mary, and in the other verses, and there's another Mary hanging out with her, as a matter of fact, probably Mary, Jesus' mother, they were the first believers. They were the first Christians. They were the first believers. And if I was going to write a history of Christianity, I would say, they went by there, but then Peter and John showed up, and they saw it first, and they wrote this down. And then Martha and Mary and their other ladies believed. That would make more sense in the first century context. But Mary was there. She saw. didn't quite understand it right away. She ran back and said, they've taken his body. They've taken his body. They've hidden it because they don't want to. Either she thought somebody had desecrated it, or she thought some friends of Jesus, some disciples, had taken it away. I'm sure she couldn't understand why the Roman soldiers who were there under the pain of death were gone. They were not supposed to leave. If they left their post, they would be executed. Why would they leave? Something out of the ordinary happened. Something extraordinary happened. Something she could not have prepared for, because she had been waiting for Jesus at some point, even though he'd been saying these amazing things, to stand up to Pilate, to stand up to Herod, to stand up to the leadership of Rome and say, no more, I'm in charge. But instead, he did the thing he had been telling them. He defeated death so that any death that occurred from Pilate or from Herod or from the oppressors would be meaningless, because eternal life makes it meaningless. And her life was changed. And the disciples, who finally understood what Jesus had been saying, understood, and their lives were changed. And hundreds of people witnessed the resurrection, and their lives were changed. And over the years, millions and millions of people have come to know Jesus, not because it made their life easier, not because it made all their problems go away, because when you meet the risen Lord, a change occurs in your life, and you cannot fight the reality of the resurrection. There are people here in this room who will tell you that there was a point in their life when they did not have Jesus as a part of their lives, and they were struggling, but they might not have been struggling too hard, but there was something missing. And now, with the Lord in their lives, even if they are still struggling, they're doing it with a confidence and a peace that eternal life brings them, that the love of the Savior brings them. Cynics turned into faithful people. Not religious fanatics. None of my people of Holy Trinity have run to the airport and waving their Bibles around. If you do that, please call me. I need to get that on my Instagram. None of my people have been arrested for, getting on TV and preaching it. We don't have fanatics here, but what we do have here are people who love the Lord, who believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and have let the love and the wisdom and the grace and the mercy and the transformational power of Christ adjust who they are. So that now we walk through the same storms, but we do it holding on to the hand of the eternal Lord Jesus Christ. Walking through school with my friend Warren was a wonderful thing. I wasn't beaten up, I wasn't bullied terribly, but man, did I feel confident when I went through struggles when he was there. And now that I walk not alone, that I know the Lord has reached out to me and said, David, take my hand, and I take his hand, it's just like when I had my kids' hands when we crossed the street. You know, take hand, take daddy's hand, here we go. And the little kid looked up and said, I got you. And you know, he said, no, I got you. I have your hand, my hand over yours, and no matter how you try to get away from me, you're not going to. And that's what the Lord does for us. He reaches down to us. He said, I want you, I love you, I rescue you, and I have your hand. Turn your face to me. So we have Easter. And many of you are here. Some of you are here because you've been dragged here. God bless you. There's ham later. It's a reward. Some of you are here because you're in town. Some of you are here because the Lord has led you here for the first time. Some of you are here and you've been in faith and you've been following Christ for a long time. Whatever station you are, whatever system of belief you have, you bring here, the Lord wants to reach into your heart right now through our prayer time, through our music, through our worship, through the Holy Eucharist, and through the blessing, and he wants to transform your reality into something much more. He wants to bring you what Jesus calls life abundant. Life abundant. When I baptize people, I say, you are baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ, and that's who we are on Easter. St. Paul says that we are raised up with him in glory. That's what He wants for you. He wants you to have more than what you can do for yourself. And that is a gift. He wants to walk beside you. And when you are confused, to bring you wisdom. When you are injured, He brings healing. When you are lost, He helps you to find salvation. When you are broken, He helps you to put things back together. And He walks with you from this day forward, or whenever you first met Him, through death into life. And for that I say thanks be to God. Amen.